Hi, I'm Mary McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is a fine pianist and composer, Pamela Hines, and she brings her modal ideas to the fore with authority and finesse, and she's an all-around wonderful pianist. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Oh, that's good.
I have to say I'm honored to be in the presence of a living legend and
oh, please.
Someone who's been in the presence of other living legends, and let it be said that you are part of the American jazz culture. There's no doubt about it. 20
oh,
years
my
and
goodness.
Going more.
Stop already. Now, I'm. You're right, in a part of that. I certainly have been in the presence of some jazz legends who I never thought I would be lucky enough to meet, like Duke Ellington and Benny Goodman and people I listened to when I was a kid. But I'm sure that's happened to you. I'm sure you've listened to people you admire all your life, haven't you?
Yes, but it's been people who have sort of, the path was already broken, you know, with you and Mary Lou Williams and things like that. It's, you know, when I was considering being a jazz pianist, I looked to see what women were out there and you know, who I could sort of read up on and study. And so I can just imagine the stories if you ever decided to, you know, write a autobiography or something like that.
Well,
so you've got to write a book. That's all there is to it.
You've
got to tell your story.
Pam, I've been trying to do it for years, but we won't talk about that now. Maybe it'll get done one day. But meanwhile, it's great fun for me to have this show and to concentrate on meeting and listening to other women like yourself. You know, I was so pleased when I got your record and heard what you were doing. And as a matter of fact, I think before we go any further, it'd be nice to hear you play something.
This is actually a piece from Oklahoma. Shirley Jones, I think, sang it on the soundtrack version anyway. It's called Out of My Dreams.
Oh, that's a pretty song, and I don't believe we've ever had anybody play it on Piano Jazz, believe it or not.
Oh, wonderful.
So I'd love to hear you do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, I was sort of surprised at the way you did that too. And after I've been thinking about all the modal things you do, and that was just so sensitive and so pretty. I guess that's just another side of your musical personality.
I had very little work to do on that song. It was really the melody is there for you, and even the upper structure triads and stuff sort of invite themselves on that song. So there's always something fresh you can do with it, whether you know it's putting it into another key or using an alteration or altered chord or whatever it is. These things just go on forever, and I think the search is on now with a lot of artists to find some new songs, not necessarily always original songs, but songs that can become standards. I think that's what Herbie Hancock has been trying to do with some of his work. And I think that's sort of the next step to add to this big list that we have now of jazz standards, to see if we can get some that are, from maybe 20 years ago or even 10 years ago or even recently, and see if we can just keep adding on to that long list.
It's funny you mention that, because I had quite a conversation with a pianist who did a recording of all his own original things, and I sort of criticized him and said, well, you really ought to include one or two standard tunes that everybody knows. And he said, well, if the younger musicians don't write some tunes, we'll all be playing Duke Ellington forever and ever, and there won't be anything new to add to the repertoire. Which I see the point, of course, but the new tunes have to be really interesting and good, don't they? I mean, it's
yes.
So hard to follow. I mean, when you think of trying to write like Duke or to write like well, some of the beautiful tunes of John Coltrane, and then, of course, then Jerome Kern and Cole Porter. I mean, tunes like that just...
And they had the venue, too. They had the area to put that into. You know, you don't see too many musicals, except here and, on Broadway and traveling shows and things like that. But as far as something that is out in public, on the radio, it's not there anymore. So a lot of times what we're looking into is, popular albums and things like that. And again, you have to sort of decide, are these chord progressions something that I can use and, et cetera? What makes it, how can I make this a standard? How can I make this a jazz?
Yeah,
it's
funny. Like, I often think to myself, now, why is it that a tune by Herbie Hancock became a standard, like... My answer would be because not only at Dolphin Dance, by the way, as you probably know, but it has a beautiful melody to
mm-hmm.
it, and I guess I must be getting sentimental in my old age. I just love to hear a beautiful melody.
I think that's the key too, and certainly that's what I've been sort of taught, is that you can do all kinds of funky changes underneath, but if you have a very basic melody that can, most definitely be heard, as I'm sure you know, that, you can create your own standard, and I think it depends on what you put underneath it. I'm sure there's a lot of songs out there that have that exact same melody that do not sound as, as beautiful as
that.
Well,
can you imagine somebody playing...
That's too beautiful. Wait a minute. So you can't
know.
Do it.
It's hard not to let that tune. That tune is nice, no matter what you do.
I'm so excited when I hear the new artists now. Everybody is now incorporating more and more songs on. And I see something on a CD or something. I'm like, oh, geez, let me hear what he's done with that or what she's done with that. And I just think it's in no way a dying art or anything like
that.
No. The art of
you're really into it. You're so enthusiastic, and you must do a lot of listening to various kinds of music, don't you?
I do. I enjoy the romantic artists, classically speaking, and but most of my listening is jazz, and I'm partial to pianists for some reason. I don't know why.
This whole subject is so interesting to me, but nevertheless, I'm dying to hear you play some more. And we've talked so much about new music. It'd be nice to have you do a piece of your own. So what's this one going to be?
This one is entitled Porridge, and it can mean a wonderful bowl or a chaotic mishmash of notes, so you can decide for yourself. But it's generally along a modal line again. The head is kind of minor in nature, and then the solo is just a basic FF sharp modal tune.
Glad you let me know. Well, you have several descriptions for that tune, and I think I'm going to choose the one of a nice bowl of porridge with very tasty, and I'd rather have that, I think. You couldn't possibly call it a mishmash of notes.
Oh, you didn't hear the teaspoon of dissonance in there? You didn't hear that?
Oh, of course I heard that, but that gives it a little touch of maybe you put a little cinnamon on it, something like that.
Or
my
lemon.
God, we're getting very culinary here, aren't we, with this music? Well, more talk and music in a minute. But first, I want to let you know that my guest is Pamela Hines. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. Now, it would be fun to really have a go at a duet and see how that would work out.
Well, I tell you that I've been very, very partial to songs that came out, you know, in the early, mid part of the century, 30s, 40s, 50s, and there's a beautiful tune called My Shining Hour. The lyrics are just so wonderful, and I just thought we might do that one.
Well, you're somebody that listens to the lyrics.
Oh, yes. And in fact, my first experience was listening to AM radio in the big band radio stations. They used to have them. They don't have so many now, but and always they had all the various singers with the big bands would always sing the lyrics, and then the bands would go into the solo. So I really feel that I can play the tune with more feeling when I'm aware of what the words were also.
It's funny you say that, because I think so many musicians feel that way and need to know the lyrics. In fact, I don't know, I may have said this before on Piano Jazz, but it's a prime example of that, of Ben Webster playing a tune and then kind of shaking his head afterwards, and somebody said to him, "Why, that sounded beautiful, what's the matter?" And he said, "I forgot the lyric."
Oh.
So, you know, so we all are very conscious of that, and I'm glad you are, because it certainly helps a person interpret the tune, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, here goes, Shining Hour.
Thank you.
You know, Harold Arlen wrote such beautiful tunes, and I really don't know if My Shining Hour has anything to do with World War II, but I can't think of a single tune of his that didn't have wonderful lyrics and be very, all his ballads were very romantic sounding.
It seems they're all like that, and they all sort of lend themselves to the jazz vocabulary anyway. And I know the lyrics are by Johnny Mercer, and I don't think you can, you know, these are the giants of composition. And I also find it interesting that many of Harold Arlen's songs, the verses leading up to the songs are incredibly creative too. They're songs in themselves. For example, coming into Over the Rainbow, if you've ever seen a sheet music with the lyrics and the sort of music leading into the song, they're just, they're songs in themselves. You could do something right there, you know.
Well, people used to play those things a long time ago. It seems that playing the verses has gone out of style. I mean, there's a lot of really nice verses that sound like an actual tune, like...
Oh, yes, sure.
The verse to Stardust. In fact, I used to love to play just the verse and end it right there. You know, people would say, what's that?
That's one of the more commonly played, too. There's so many others, and I guess the place where I've heard them the most is on some of the older recordings, like Chris Connor and things like that. They actually sang them before they went into the songs. And again, I'm probably telling you all stuff that you already know because you've been there and things. But for me, it's a real kick to get, you know, go in an older record store and grab some of the vocalist tunes and hear all these verses leading in.
No, but not everybody does that though, Pam. You seem to be somebody that's really into learning all about the music, old and new, and I mean that's refreshing because, I mean, some people start listening to John Coltrane and they never heard anything before that, and I mean you miss out so much wonderful stuff if you don't go back to all the old New Orleans tunes.
You know, I heard a recording. It was, I think it was on Just Friends, or a recent CD, where you combined When the Saints Go Marching In.
Yeah.
Is it with the Bluebells of Scotland?
That was it.
And this was for Jimmy, is that?
Yes.
Can I get an encore presentation of that? That was just wonderful.
Why not? I'll try. I'll just explain that was something that Jimmy actually played on the troop ship when he was in the army coming into Scotland in World War II, and he stood up on the deck and played the Bluebells of Scotland. All the people on the shore were going, "Wow!" You know, there's millions of people standing there at the dock side. So
were these soldiers standing?
Yes.
Oh, my
yes.
Lord.
So naturally that tune had great meaning for him.
And was it just him? He was just out there?
I think he probably had a few drinks.
Wow,
that's
so many stories, so you need to put this down on paper. I want to read about this.
All right, I promise.
Okay.
But meanwhile, I'll try to do that for you, Pam.
Wonderful. the Angels, listening to that one. Now that you've told the story behind the meaning of the song, the emotion behind it is now even more incredible, and you know that all those that were involved and all those who are still with us, who have memories of that sort of thing, can relate beyond what I can even imagine to songs like that.
Well, the thing I guess I wanted to do really was, it wasn't so much that, but thinking of a tune I could play, and it suddenly occurred to me that if I played the Saints as a ballad, that it would be a whole different thing. I mean, there's so many tunes that you can play a different way instead of, you know, I just thought it would really be fun to try to make a nice tune out of it. And I'll tell you what, it helps playing it in F sharp too, because that's... Because you get different vibrations.
Yeah.
That's why I like to play in strange keys, because... well, anyway, enough about that, but there's so many tunes that I've heard done different ways. Like, remember this tune from a Broadway show?
Right.
Everything's Coming Up Roses.
Uh-huh.
Well, I heard Andre Previn do this.
That's beautiful.
It's like a whole other tune. In fact, I know I said to him, "What's that?" I didn't even recognize it. And anyway, in case you've just tuned in, my guest today is Pam Hines. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz, which is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. You know, Pam, we might just as well do another Rodgers and Hammerstein tune. I think this is. This Can't Be Love, isn't it?
I believe so.
It's another good standard.
Yes, it is. I think I first heard this on the Carnegie Hall album, Judy Garland. That was one of the first records I bought when I was in seventh grade, so where I learned this one.
She did all these. Great. All right, let's do our version. Thank you. "Oh, that's really a nice Rodgers and Hammerstein piece, and we used to play that a lot at the Hickory House." Isn't it funny how you, I don't know if you do this, but I do. I sort of play the same 10 tunes, and then all of a sudden stop playing them and don't play them for years.
Yes, I did that with Stella by Starlight. And this, too, this is a good tune because it kind of lends itself to the blues and also the, you know, basic chord progression. So
yeah,
it can be a blast.
Yeah, it's just a nice tune to play, and I think we sounded good. So, you know what would be nice? I would love to hear another of your tunes.
Well,
and,
this...
tell me about this next one.
This one is to be released, and it's called A Stone, and it's was written a short time in 1998 after I lost my son, and so this is sort of for him.
That's a really interesting title. I'm dying to hear this piece, so go ahead and play it for me. You know, I think one of the great things about being a musician and a composer is that you can kind of play out your emotions. And if you have something that's very sad or meaningful or close to you, you can play it out on your instrument and get sort of emotional release that I think some people that aren't in the music field, they can't do the same way. I mean, is such a nice, beautiful piece dedicated to your son, and you must have felt very good about it.
I did, and actually, for a long time after his passing, I couldn't touch music. I couldn't listen to it or play it. Couldn't listen to Chopin. Many things I sort of had, because it has such meaning for me, and it does go so deeply for me. And again, this is my personal viewpoint that. I really had to step away from it for a while and sort of do some bit of recovery and then come back into it. But it has greater meaning for me, as I'm sure it must with you know, playing the Saints for Jimmy. There's just something about that realm or area that just brings tremendous creativity and emotional release for us.
Oh, it's true.
It's true.
And actually, you can do that with a lot of tunes. Maybe that certain memories go with certain standard tunes, not even your own compositions, although I've written pieces that just are sort of come straight from some romantic experience or emotional experience, mm-hmm. and it's really nice to have that kind of ability to do that, I think. By the way, it's time to let you know that my guest is Pamela Hines. I'm Mary McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. You know, Pam, we haven't done any kind of a blues. Wouldn't it be fun to just do like a straight-ahead blues tune? What have you got in your repertoire?
Well, I know there's a tune called Tenor Madness, and it kind of allows you to sort of open up and insert whatever chord you may.
Well, that's a good one. Let's do that. Oh, now that we've played this tune, of course I know it. I never knew what it was. I didn't know it was called Tenor Madness. I mean, I've heard a lot of people play that. I'm not sure if it might be by Sonny Rollins or it might be by Richie Cole. Or everybody plays that. It's one of those real jolly and cheerful sounding tunes that you can mm-hmm. play at the drop of a flatted fifth.
It seems there's enough space in it, too, to sort of branch out if you need to or, you know, stay in or whatever you
oh,
want
sure.
to do. So
branching out too. Is always fun. Speaking of which, you know, we talked so much about ballads and tunes that are meaningful and sort of emotional to play. And I've got one I'd like to do for you that maybe you remember it's in it. It's a tune I think I recorded years and years ago, and it's one I'm very fond of. It's called If I Love Again.
Oh, yes, that's a beautiful song. I would love to hear that.
Okay.
you know, the words to that song are just lovely, but when I hear it played like that, you know, the words aren't even needed sometimes to catch the meaning of such lovely ballads.
Well, you know, you're a very good audience for me. I could sit here and play ballads for you all day and know that you would enjoy them. But
yeah, I'd be a little mole under the rug there or under your piano. They're trying to kind of snatch some
but,
more changes.
By the same token, you played a beautiful ballad too, and as well as all your other things. I mean, you've have a lot of versatility in your playing, and I mean, I really had fun working with you today, and it's a shame that it all has to end.
I've had a blast, and
I'm so
it's
glad.
Just been wonderful.
I'm so glad. So anyway, I hope we'll play again, do something else in the near future.
I hope so, too.
But at least we have one more tune we can play together.
Wonderful.
So let's do, how about Autumn Leaves?
That sounds great.
Okay. Well, it worked out just the way we planned it, didn't it?
Yes.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest from the year 2000, Pamela Hines. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Richard Applegate. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Production manager, Audrey Shiflett. Executive producer, Tom Clark. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can find out more about the artists and music on Piano Jazz from our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz, NPR member stations, and NPR. Support for the original production of this episode was provided by the National Endowment for the Arts, the Baldwin Piano Company, and Borders Books and Music. Support for NPR comes from NPR contributors, which include the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. This is NPR.